Friends, we are in a season of telling at Old Fort Church. You've been hearing that the past couple of weeks. You're going to hear that for a lot more weeks. And what we're doing is recognizing our obligation to tell the world about the one who created them and the one who loves them. So in this season, what I'm asking you to do is to be praying, to asking God, God, who is it you want me to be telling? What is it that you want me to be telling them? And then praying, God, give me the opportunity to be able to be in their life and be in a place to tell them. And asking God to make clear on your heart and mind what you're to say and how you're to say that. You see, here's the thing. Every one of us who knows Jesus, if you know Jesus, you have at least two stories to tell already. You have your story of whatever Jesus has done, how he's impacted your life. And you also have the story of Jesus' impact on the world, Jesus' story. Those are two stories you already have. Those don't have to be complicated stories, and there's many ways for you to share them. The truth is it's not a lack of message that we have in the church. It's a lack of our willingness to trust Jesus enough to tell the message that he's given us, to trust him enough to obey and to go and to tell. And I've got to tell you that in my own personal life, I've not found anything more exhilarating in the world than being able to tell somebody else about Jesus. There's nothing I've experienced greater than being able to sit with somebody and tell them the story about Jesus. Even if they don't delve into that right away, even if they don't invite Jesus into their heart right away, just the sheer exhilaration of being able to speak to someone about Jesus is nothing greater than that, other than those few opportunities you get, or a lot of opportunities you get when people ask Jesus into their life themselves. God's season for the church right now, I believe, not just Old Fort Church, but the church, is that we be telling. And my prayer is that at Old Fort Church, we'll be all in for that season. One of the beautiful ways that we have to tell others about God is by telling them about forgiveness. And we've been talking about that now for 3 weeks. This is our third week of wrapping up a series on forgiveness. And the reason that forgiveness is so important when it comes to telling is because the world needs to know that they can be forgiven, that they can be reconciled, that they can be made right, and that they can be made new. When we offer forgiveness and reconciliation, what we're actually doing is opening their eyes of those around us to forgiveness that's available to them, that's being offered to them through Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about choosing to forgive. Last week, we talked about reconciling, how we reconcile with others. And this week, as we're finishing up, is another important aspect, and it's this: learning how to let go of hurt and learning to let go of those who've hurt you. And then we're going to do a final wrap-up this evening at 6:30 as we watch together the movie I Can Only Imagine, that kind of shows you how forgiveness works in the life of a real story. So I hope you'll come back at 6:30 for that tonight as we show that. So friends, let's pray, and then we'll get into our last installment this morning on forgiveness. God, I am grateful for you for forgiving me, and I'm grateful for those you've placed in my life to teach me what forgiveness is and how to forgive others. One of those is my very own wife. I've watched her, how she's done that in an amazing way in her life at different times, and so I thank you for what I've learned about forgiveness. And Lord, as we talk about this important part now of letting go of hurt, there are lots of hurts in this room. Right now, there are people that are hurting in lots of different ways, and some of that can be let go of today. And so I just pray that our hearts are open to that our minds are open, that our emotions, that our spiritual self, that our bodies are open to what you want to do today. And God, we ask you to move. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before I even delve into this, friends, I just want to tell you that I really believe there are some things in this message today that will help you let go of hurt. But it might take you hearing it more than once. This is a message that you might want to go back and listen to one or two more times at our website or on our Facebook page. They usually stream it live, and you can go back and get to it there, because I believe there are pieces here that you're probably not going to get all at once this morning that I believe will really help you when it comes to letting go of hurt. And that goes for the other two messages in this series as well. If you've not heard those other two messages, I think they can really help you in this area of forgiveness, so I encourage you to go back to them and to check them out. Here's the fact, friends, is that we know that the world is full of broken relationships. Would you agree with that? The world's full of broken relationships. The world's filled with broken relationships. And the fact is that you're going to get hurt in life. That just happens. We said last week that hurt people who've not had healing in their life hurt other people. So as long as there are people who are still hurt in the world, hurt is going to keep going on. It's going to continue to happen. The truth is that you've already been hurt, right? You and I have already been hurt. Countless times we have been hurt. Some of those hurts go way back. Some of those hurts may be as recent as and as fresh as yesterday, maybe as fresh as this morning. And to you and to your hurts, I just first want to tell you that I am so sorry. I really am so sorry for the places that you've been emotionally hurt and spiritually hurt and physically hurt by the acts or by the means of other people. I am so sorry. We all have gone through it. Maybe you've been hurt by different people who've said something about you or thought something about you or have done something to you. You've been hurt emotionally, physically, maybe sexually, financially. You've been hurt and you're going to be hurt in life by the things that people say and the things that people do. Many of you carry deep wounds from hurts in the past, maybe from a parent or a spouse or a relationship or a peer or someone you work with. Someone in your life wounded you deeply, and perhaps that wound is a long way off from being healed. Maybe some of you right now, just as we're talking about this, that wound is so deep that it gets raw just because of the fact we're talking about it this morning. It comes back to you very quickly. And I want to say to you, as someone who loves you and someone who cares about you, if you want God's best for your life, if you want to begin to recover from the hurt that you have got to let it go. You have got to let it go. You have got to let go of your past hurts if you want to have healing. Now, I recognize that that's not an easy thing to do. But friends, there's no other remedy for these painful memories. It's all part of forgiveness, the forgiveness that we've been talking about now for 3 weeks. There's no other option. Nothing else can set you free from the past except forgiveness. Offering forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, accepting forgiveness, nothing else works, friends. If you want to get on with your life and continue to step into God's greater purposes for your life, then you're going to have to learn to forgive and to let go of past hurts. There's so much confused thinking around about forgiveness. Many people say, I could never forgive, but they don't really understand what forgiveness is. As a matter of fact, they don't really understand what forgiveness isn't. So let's start by talking about some things that forgiveness isn't. First of all, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not minimizing. Understanding this alone is going to help some people. Some are thinking, but if I forgive, then I'm expected to think about the offense as like it was no big deal. And you know what? That's not true. Forgiveness doesn't mean that. If someone's come to you and they ask you to forgive them and you say something to them like, you say, oh, you know, it's really no big deal. It doesn't really matter. And you just kind of blow it off. You're actually, what you're doing is you're cheapening what forgiveness is. You're cheapening it. You're minimizing it. Minimizing a hurt isn't forgiveness. That's not forgiving. If it's really not a big deal, then there's no need for them to ask for forgiveness, right? That's what makes real forgiveness such a beautiful, beautiful thing. The fact that you still remember it and it still hurts you deeply proves that it's a big deal. It is a big deal. You don't have to minimize it. Forgiveness is beautiful because it takes something that maybe is a really big deal and it says, you know what? God is bigger than this. And it says that forgiveness is bigger than the hurt that you have. Are we going to say that Jesus died on the cross for something that wasn't a big deal? It's not a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. And there's beauty in forgiveness because of that. A second thing that forgiveness is not is that forgiveness is not an instant restoration of trust. And most Americans, they don't understand this. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Forgiveness can be instant, but trust, it takes time to rebuild over time. Forgiveness comes by grace, giving somebody something that they don't deserve, but trust is something you need to rebuild. When someone hurts you, you have to forgive them. We'll talk about that a bit more in a few moments, but you need to forgive, but you don't have to trust instantly. Trust has to be rebuilt, and that, friends, takes time. If someone repeatedly hurts you over and over and over again, but you don't have to let them keep hurting you. Does that make sense? Just because they've hurt you, forgiving doesn't mean to let them keep hurting you. You don't have to trust them just yet. That trust will have to be rebuilt over a longer period of behavioral changes. You should see changes in their behavior before you're willing to trust them again. Trust is built over a long period of time. It takes a long time to build credibility, but it can be lost in a second. You can lose credibility in a moment, but now rebuilding that trust, that broken trust, it takes even longer. So forgiveness isn't minimizing the offense. And it's not the same thing as trusting the person and saying, you can just keep hurting me. That's not what we're saying. Here's the third thing that forgiveness is not. It is not. Forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. We're just going to pick up where we left off. A lot of people think forgiveness means that. I've got to go back to the old dysfunctional, hurting, unhealthy relationship. No. That's not what forgiveness is at all. And this may help you. Forgiveness isn't the same as reuniting a relationship. Now, sometimes that might be the benefit of forgiveness, when that's a good thing, but forgiveness and reuniting are different. For a relationship to be completely reunited, to be completely reconciled, the offender has to do three things. First, they have to come to repentance, which means they're going to turn from their way and they're going to go God's way. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily they're going to turn from their way and they're going to go your way, because your way may not be right either. But they need to turn from your way and turn to go God's way. That's the first thing. Second, they need to make restitution when and how that's possible. And then third, and this one can be the hardest one, and it's the one that takes the most time, they need to rebuild your trust. And when a relationship is broken over betrayal or something like that, the offender has to do these three things. They have to demonstrate genuine repentance. They have to make restitution where possible. And they need to regain your trust, proving that they've changed over time. That's what they have to do to rebuild a relationship. Now, we're not talking about this morning in this series about those things, what they need to do. That we can't make them do what they need to do, right? All we can do is us. So we're not talking about those things in this series. I'm talking about your role and my role. And your role and my role, when you've been hurt, and what we've been talking about over these 3 weeks, is forgiveness. That's our role. That's all we can do in this. And get this, your role is totally independent of whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Some of you are just waiting around. You're saying, well, they've not asked for forgiveness. I don't even think they even get it yet. I'm not forgiving them till they come crawling to me. No, that's ungodly thinking. That's an ungodly belief. And your role is totally independent of whether you deserve it or not. Whether they deserve it or not, they don't deserve it. You don't deserve the forgiveness that you've received either. Hear me. You're actually not doing this for their benefit. Now, they may benefit from it, but you're not doing this for their benefit. You're actually doing this for your benefit. Some of you have been hurt so badly by somebody that you love that the thought of offering forgiveness to that person, whoever it is almost unthinkable. So today we're going to do two things. We're going to look at two questions. One, why should I let go of hurt? Why should I let go of people who hurt me? And two, how do I do it? How do I let go of hurt and those who've hurt me? So let's look at the first question. Why should I let go of hurt? And here are two reasons. There are two reasons that we need to forgive people. The first is this, because God forgives us, because God forgives you. Because God forgives you. God has forgiven you. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But it's the number one reason I forgive, because God forgave me. Friends, the fact is that you'll never have to forgive anybody more than God has already forgiven you. God forgives completely. He forgives unconditionally, constantly, and persistently. God forgives you even when you don't even know that you're blowing it. When you put your trust in Jesus and you accept that he's paid for your sins, he forgives you and he wipes it out. You'll never have to forgive anyone more than what God has already done when he forgave you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. One of the reasons that some people don't forgive is because they don't feel like they've been forgiven themselves. When you don't feel forgiven, you don't feel like forgiving anybody else. When you don't feel God's grace, you don't feel like being gracious toward anyone else. When you don't feel like you're off the hook, then you don't feel like letting somebody else off the hook. When you don't feel anyone else is cutting you slack, you don't feel like cutting somebody else slack. And when you don't feel good about yourself or you feel guilty about yourself, you certainly don't want somebody else who's hurt you feeling good about themselves and not feeling guilty about themselves. The number one reason why people have a hard time letting go is because they don't feel forgiven. But I want you to note the reoccurring word there in this difficulty of not feeling forgiven, and that reoccurring word is the word feel. Friends, do not base God's forgiveness on your feelings. Feelings are fickle. The fact is that if you've embraced Jesus Christ and his forgiveness for you, he has forgiven you, whether you feel like he's forgiven you or not. He has forgiven you. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. If you really experience the grace and the forgiveness of God, once you understand how much, how totally, how completely, and how greatly God's forgiven you, you're just going to be a whole lot more forgiving of other people. When you can connect that fact of God forgiving you with that feeling that you have of receiving that forgiveness, you're just going to start forgiving more and more people more easily. So the first reason you have to forgive others is because God has forgiven you. The second reason that you have to forgive others is because resentment just doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. Friends, resentment is self-defeating. In fact, it is self-destructive. Resentment always hurts you more than it hurts the other person. It always does. It always does because it causes you more pain than it causes that person that you're upset with. Resentment just doesn't work. In the Bible, there's a story of a guy named Job who lost everything. Through influence of the devil, terrorists come in and they kill his kids, they steal his cattle, they ruin his crops, and to top that off, he gets this terrible, dreadful disease. Everything is going wrong for Job. If anybody had a right to be bitter about their circumstances of life, it was Job, but he didn't get resentful. And he didn't get bitter because he knew that resentment just doesn't work. Well, there are three verses from Job's account that I want to look at here for a moment this morning. Job chapter 5, verse 2, they teach us, and it says this, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish and senseless thing to do. Note the word foolish there. Resentment is foolish and it's senseless. In fact, when people fill themselves with resentment, and when you see them do all these kinds of really ridiculous things, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen people who get angry out in public, and they make an absolute fool of themselves, haven't you? People allow the perspective to cloud the resentment to cloud their perspective. They make irrational decisions and irrational choices when they're being clouded with that resentment. When you get mad about something, you know what it does? It actually lowers your IQ a little bit during that time of resentment. And you're about to do something really stupid. You'll do things that you never would have done when you were thinking rationally and logically, like put your fist through a wall. Or say something mean or hurtful to somebody that you can't get back. Or slander or ridicule somebody else. Or actually physically hurt somebody. And who looks foolish in that? You look foolish in that. Resentment doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts you. When you're sitting around so upset about something that someone did to you 10 or 15 months ago, or 10 or 15 years ago, or 10 or 15 minutes ago, and you're just spewing and stewing about it, guess what? They're not even thinking about it. They're not. They're not thinking about it. They've gone on with their lives. You're not hurting them. You're hurting you. And sometimes you're even hurting others who are around you. Job tells us about this only hurting you in Job chapter 18, the first part of verse 4. He says, You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger. Tear yourself to pieces. Those are pretty direct words. You're tearing yourself to pieces in your anger and in your resentment. It always hurts you more than it does the person that you're upset with. It makes you miserable. Have you noticed that most unhappy people are bitter people? Have you noticed that? Most unhappy people are bitter people. We all know those people who 50 years ago, somebody done them wrong in some way, and they've never let go of it. And now 50 years later, or 10 years later, or however long it's been, they're still taking it out on somebody else. They're angry, and they're cranky, they're resentful, they're mean, and they're vindictive. Someone needs to say to those people, let it go. Let it go. They've ruined their life because they've refused to let it go. They've held on to that hurt, and they're now unhappy. And listen, if that happens to be you in this room, if you happen to be in one of those kind of people sitting in this room, and if you know somebody that is, don't look at them right now. Don't point at them. But if you're somebody and you know, I've held on to this resentment and it's made me bitter and it's made me unhappy. If that's you, friends, can I just speak to you just for a moment? Can I just have your attention just for a moment? Will you hear me just for a moment? If that's you, listen to me right now. Listen, friend, this grudge, this hurt, this pain, this thing, this trying incident has gone far enough. It doesn't need to go any farther. Today is Independence Day for you. It's time for you to drop it, to let it go, give it to God, give your hurt to God that you've been holding on to. You've got only so much life left to live. Don't let this person, don't let this incident rob you of your joy one single more day. Give it to God, forgive this person, and you move on to a joyful life. Job tells us one more thing here in Job 21, 23 through 25. He says, one man dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease, his body well nourished, his bones rich with marrow. Another man dies in bitterness of soul, never having enjoyed anything good. Friend, which person do you want to be at the end of your day when this life here on this earth is done? One who's been secure, at ease, with a life full of vigor, or one who dies in bitterness of the soul, never enjoying anything good. Now listen to me, I'm a pastor. And I've done a lot of funerals, and I've done funerals for both. And a funeral for a bitter soul, never enjoying anything good, is not a nice funeral to do. But when you've got a funeral of a person who's let go of grudges in this world, and has been a person full of vigor, rich in the marrow of his bones, a joy, it's a joy in celebrating their life. And in those cases, both of those cases, friends, everybody in the room knows the difference. Everybody in the room knows when a person's died in bitterness or if they've died full of joy. They know. Research has shown that the unhealthiest emotion known to human beings is bitterness. Resentment. It's the unhealthiest emotion. When you hold on to it, it attacks your heart like a cancer, like a fire to your chest. What it does to you is unhealthy. I read that doctors tell us that 50 to 75% of all people in hospitals could go home right now today if they knew how to get rid of their guilt and their resentment. Because it's the source behind their pain. Either it's guilt, they're feeling guilty about what they've done, or it's a resentment, they're holding guilt over what somebody else has done to them. Their pain would be gone. They could go home today if they could learn how to let go of that. Listen, God didn't make your body to carry guilt and resentment. If you don't talk it out with God, you're going to take it out on your body. We say things like, that person is a pain in the neck, or that person's a pain in the back, or that person's a pain in the behind. Because we know that the stress and the pain, why do we do that? We know that the stress and the pain that others have, that they put on us, affects our body, affects our well-being. Unresolved anger stresses you out, and it takes it out on your body. I've seen it countless times. So we've talked about why to let go of hurt and to forgive. Now let's deal with that difficult question. How do I let go of those who've hurt me? How do I do this? How do I let go of the hurt? That's the answer that many of us want, right? Well, I want to give us some steps for how to do that I believe really work. If you follow these steps, the first one is this: to let go of that hurt, that person that's hurt you, relinquish my right to get even. You need to relinquish your right to get even. This is the heart of forgiveness, friends. Let them off the hook. Now, you may be thinking, just let them go after what they did. That's not fair. Well, who said forgiveness is about being fair? Nobody said forgiveness is about being fair. Was it fair for God to forgive you? Don't you deserve to be punished for all that you've done wrong? Don't I deserve to be punished for all that I've done wrong? Yes, you do. Yes, I do. Yet God doesn't give you what you deserve. He gives you what you need. Do you know what God does give us? He gives us. He gives you what you need. So who said forgiveness is supposed to be fair? When you think about what forgiveness is, of course it's not fair. It's an act of grace and mercy. An act of grace and mercy. Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. That's not fair. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. That's not fair. No, it's not fair. It's an act of grace and mercy. You give up settling the score, and you let God deal with it however he knows is best and he knows is correct. The Bible says that God's a God of justice, and one day he's going to settle all the scores that need to be settled in the way that he determines to do, out of his love and out of his goodness. So leave it up to him. Leave it up to God. There's a great deal of freedom in just letting it go and just leaving it up to God. You don't have to think about it one more moment. In the meantime, you get to go ahead and fill your heart with peace and with grace and with joy. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 19, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Friends, God is a just God. He says, don't you take things into your own hands. Let God, let me, who's just and perfect, let me be the impartial judge and the one who's going to take care of those who deserve it the way that they deserve it. Now, he's going to take care of them with the same standards in which he's judged you. That's fair, right? That's only fair. So if they confess their sins to him and they seek forgiveness from him, you know what? He's going to forgive them just like he forgave you. And you know what? We should want that. We should be praying for that, for those who've hurt us and offended us, that they come to a place that they can get forgiveness from God. So they're not living with this thing upon them their whole life. God's going to deal with them the same way he's dealt with us. But God says to you, relinquish it. Relinquish the right to get even, and I will take care of things justly. It's who I am. I can't do anything else but be just and good and fair and loving. You may ask, how many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to forgive them? Because I've done that, and well, what's it gotten me? They just keep doing the same offense over and over. Well, friends, we answered that question 2 weeks ago, didn't we? When Peter asked that question of Jesus in Matthew 18, 21 through 22, then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus is telling Peter, you forgive over and over and over and over and over and over again, Peter. There isn't a number of times. You just keep doing it. That's what we do. We forgive. Forgiveness is continual. It's never a one-shot deal. And we're not just talking here, this is really important, we're not just talking about having to forgive each time they offend, but there are actually layers to the offense that they've done to you. So we have to forgive at actual different layers of the offender and how they've forgiven us. So here's how this works, friends. Every time you remember how you've been hurt, you've got to release it and forgive again. You have to release it and forgive again. Every time you remember a different layer of the hurt, a different act of the hurt that they've done, you need to forgive that layer and forgive that act. And actually, if you've forgiven and you're still feeling pain, that's a good indication that there's probably still layers of forgiveness that you've not yet dealt with. You'll likely need to pray, and you're going to have to ask God to reveal these layers to you as He sees fit, as the time is right, in His love and kindness, to give you those layers so you can forgive one layer at a time in His perfect time, every one of them. You'll remember it, then you'll release it, and you'll forgive. You'll remember another, then you'll release it, then you'll forgive. You'll remember another, then you'll release it, and you'll forgive. And friends, what you'll eventually find is peace. What you'll eventually find is peace. You'll be unhooked from the pain. How do you know when you're totally released and forgiven? It's when it doesn't hurt anymore. When it doesn't hurt anymore. It's a process and it takes time, but it's worth it. You keep giving to God each time. And each time you do, the grip of the offender gets loosened a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until you're finally free of it. And guess what? The pain is gone. Now, some of you are saying to yourself right now, you're thinking, do you mean to say this pain can actually be gone? Do you mean this hurt can actually be over? And you know what? To that, I give a resounding yes. Yes, why would God want you to live with pain that somebody else has done to you? That's saying that that person has more control, has more power over you than God does in His grace and His forgiveness. Of course, you can come to the place that you don't hurt anymore over that incident. God's ready to do the work with you, but you have to take on your part of the work. Ask God to help you and to forgive each and every layer of the offense as it comes to you. Relinquish it to Him. The hurt that you've gone through, relinquish it. Relinquish it and even give it to God, and then work through this process of forgiving. The second way to let go of hurt and those who've hurt you is this. Now you refocus on God's purpose. Once you've let go of the hurt, you're dealing with these layers of forgiveness and you're forgiving, now you have to shift your focus onto God's purpose for your life. You've relinquished getting even, and so the next step is to refocus your gaze off of the events and the events that have held you for however long they've held you, and instead focus on God and on His purpose for your life. Don't focus on the hurt. Focus on the hope. Don't focus on the violator. Focus on the victory. Don't focus on the pain. Focus on the purpose. Focus on the future, friends. Now, why is this important? Because as long as you're focusing on the person and your hurt, they still control you. You don't want anybody's hurt, your hurt from anybody else in your past to control your life, to control your present. But as long as you're focusing on them, you're letting them continue to hurt you. Whatever you focus on, friends, controls you. And you don't want other people controlling your life. You want God controlling your life. You've got to let it go. You stop focusing on the pain. And now, and I know that this is hard. I know it is, but it's going to, friends, it's going to bring you freedom. When you say, I'm letting go of them, I'm letting them off the hook, Lord. I'm letting them off. I'm not going to focus on your purpose for my life. I'm no longer focusing on that anymore. I'm not going to let that dominate me any longer. I've let that go. I'm focusing on your purpose for my life. There's another reason that this is important, friends. You're not going to like this, but it's so often true. If you don't release them, you're going to start to resemble them. You're going to start to resemble them. How many times have you heard, I'm never going to become like my mother? Oh, yeah? Or I'm never going to become like my dad? Oh, yeah? Whatever you focus your life on, you're going to move toward. If you focus on the pain, you're going to move toward more pain. If you focus on God's purpose, you're going to move toward purpose. You're going to move out of that pain. The more you focus on that person who hurt you, you're keeping a bridge open between you and them. And every time you turn to that bridge, bitterness comes rushing over that bridge and rushes right back in to reinfect you. You've got to change your focus. Let's look again at the book of Job, because it brings us to this really beautiful paragraph about the freedom that you'll find in shifting your focus. And it's found in Job chapter 11, verses 13 through 19. I want you to listen really closely to this passage. It is a beautiful passage about where we find freedom in this. So listen closely. Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch your hand to him, speaking of the Lord, if you devote your heart to the Lord and stretch your hand to the Lord, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, that means to dwell within your being, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and the darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down and no one will make you afraid. And many will court your favor. Oh, it's beautiful. Now, I suspect that there are some here who hear part of that and you're like, but I don't want it as waters gone by. I want them to pay. I want them to feel the pain that I've had to feel. Fine. You can do that, friend, but peace will elude you. Peace will elude you and you'll become what you hate. I'm just calling it what it is. I've witnessed it and it's sad. Stop playing like you're God in this matter and let God be God. Relinquish it and refocus onto God's purpose for you, because his purpose surely isn't venom. It surely isn't the venom that you spew when you focus on this. Now, there's one final thing we do to let go of this hurt and those that hurt us, and it's this. Now we respond to evil with good. We need to respond to evil with good. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is a great verse for us to put to memory so we can deal with hurt in our lives. So I'm going to say it again. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 21. I want to have you say it with me once. Do not be overcome by evil. Very good. I didn't even have to prod you. You just read it and did it. Great verse to put to memory. You're going to need this verse as you move on and as you change your heart, because the person who offended you won't be the only one. It's not going to be the only offense you're going to have. There are a lot more people out there in this world who will be like real jerks. There are a lot of evil people in the world. And do you know what? Before you let go of this hurt that you faced, every time somebody else did something really jerky to you, it just added another layer to the pain. It added another layer. He's just another person who's mean and trying to hurt me, and I'm a magnet for this kind of stuff. Am I a magnet for this or what? No, you're not. You're not a magnet. Your gaze has been in the wrong direction. You're now relinquishing the hurt. You're focusing on God's purpose. And now your response is going to need to change, or you're going to be setting yourself up for more hurt. I'm now always going to return good for evil. That's your new direction. So that you're not going to be hurt, I'm always going to return good for evil. Just as the Bible says, my heart, my spirit, they're no longer going to be vengeful, but I'm going to recognize that there are countless others out there who are still speaking out of their pain. So I'm going to anoint their pain, their evilness, with kindness, with goodness, regardless of what their heart or their intent is. Do you remember what we said last week? Again, we said hurt people who've not been healed hurt people. They hurt people. That's still going on. And as long as that's going on, there's going to be more hurt. But remember what else we said last week. Beneath everyone's anger, beneath everyone's cruelty, everyone's meanness, lies their own layers of hurt. where they've been hurt. So our doing good against their evil is only thing that's going to give the chance of penetrating to the deeper layers of what they're going through. Listen to what it says in another part of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you pass judgment, do the same things." Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Speaking of God, his kindness, tolerance, patience, not realizing that. And here's the part that I really want us to focus on. Realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. God's kindness leads you towards repentance. Friends, what brought you to Jesus? Was it somebody telling you that God is vengeful, that he's going to seek retaliation and judgment? No, it's my suspicion that it was his goodness and his kindness. Do you want to stay free from ever being connected to that kind of hurt and pain that past offenses have brought you? Then stay connected to God's kindness and respond to evil with good. Forgiveness may just free somebody else. And returning goodness for evil keeps you free. As we wrap up this series of telling about forgiveness, friends, we're now tooled. We're tooled for the hurt that we have in our lives to tell about forgiveness in this season of telling that we live into the world that we're in that desperately needs to be forgiven by Jesus. So now your job is to go and to tell. To go and to tell, and then to come back this evening as we really wrap things up and watch the movie together, I can only imagine. Let's pray together. In the Bible, it says that love covers a multitude of sins. And our struggle when we've been hurt by somebody else and what keeps us trapped in a bad spot is when we're not willing to forgive and we get resentful. We don't relinquish control to God and we stay all mean about it and don't return kindness. The pieces to this message are really, really where it's at if you want the pain to be gone. So God, we just ask that we would live these pieces, that we would go over them again, that we would let go of things that hurt, that we would forgive, that we refocus onto you, and God, that we would return good for evil. God, just make that happen in our hearts. Allow us to open ourselves to it for real change in this area of forgiveness and telling others about how you've forgiven them. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Friends, as you go, I want to again invite you back tonight at 6:30 for I Can Only Imagine. And I will tell you, so that you know, if you've not seen this movie, it's a tearjerker. And it's not an easy film for everyone. But it's a good film. And it ends on a good note. And it lets you see a real life story of somebody who's gone through a process of needing to let go and forgive and all the things that we've talked about. So I encourage you to come tonight at 6:30, bring a family member, a friend. I think we might even have some popcorn here. So come and enjoy a movie, a night out at the movies as we see that movie together. Go and have just a blessed week and walk in the fact that you're forgiven and you have the ability to forgive others. In Jesus' name.